Blog Talk Radio.
Giving praise and honor and glory to God. This is your host, Minister Anton, Minister Jennifer Sears. We are live on Blog Talk Radio, and we are excited about what God is doing in our lives. This is an opportunity every morning that we're on to just give praise and honor and glory to God. And we were sharing earlier in the week, I think it was on Monday, we were on the air for the first time in a while, and we're back on and just exalting the name of Jesus, giving him all the praise and our grace and mercy. God's grace and mercy and the glory are rooted in your faith this morning. And so we're sharing that scripture text again that we were in the other day and just lifting up the name of Jesus and exalting his name, saying, Lord, we thank you right now. And we're also going to focus on Hebrews 11:1-6, and particularly on the sixth verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we call on your name this morning, lifting up the bloodstained banner, giving you all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory, saying thank you, Jesus, for what it is that you do and how you do what you do to bless us by your grace and mercy, not that we deserve it, but just by your grace and more and your love and the mercy of God. And as AJS minister, as a minister, Minister says it out, we give God all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory as we exalt his name, for he is a God of our salvation. And we thank him right now, just the God that keeps on blessing, the God that keeps on knowing all of our trials, all of our tribulations. And we know that when we come to the Lord and we give all of our hearts to him, no matter what it is that you're going through, I've had enough experience as a 64, soon to be 65-year-old living soul, a man who's gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and the Lord has brought me out so many times. I've seen from the mountaintop, and I give him all the praise, all the honor, and all of the glory. I love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul. And I want to announce to you today and share with you as well that as we're giving this broadcast and thanking God for what he's doing in our lives, we're on Blog Talk Radio AJS Ministry, Blog Talk Radio AJS Ministry. It's an internet radio program, and if you're listening or would like to dial in, you can dial in 929-477-3795, 929-477-3795. That's our new call-in number. But we praise God this morning, exalt him, because he's a God of our salvation. And as I was praying, just giving God all the praise and honor and the glory, exalting his name because of the grace of God, that grace. I'm asking God, well, God, how can I explain to people the power of your grace, and what is the grace, and what's the glory? How do we talked about going from glory to glory. We were talking about the glory of God and going from glory to glory. But, Lord, how do we share that with people who may not know you? How do I explain that to people who don't know the power of your might, the power of your glory, the existence of all that you are and all that God is doing in our lives? Lord, how do we help people to understand your grace and your mercy is sufficient to keep us on this broadcast as we talk through Blog Talk Radio? And it came to me to share with people that when Moses went up on the mountain, he met with the presence of God. So that says to me that God has a presence. There is an organism, if you will. There is a spirit. There's a matter. There's a substance. There's a form. And it comes in the name of God Almighty. And he would meet with God at the burning bush, and the presence of God in the cloud, and the presence of God at the altar, and go behind the veil during the time of atonement, and he would get the word of God and come down and meet with the people in the tabernacle and tell them and explain to them as they built the tabernacle that they were not allowed to enter into the holy court, but they were not allowed to enter into that place of the sacred of all holies of holies. And he couldn't even go with all his beautiful robing that he had on as a high priest and with the crown on his head that says holy and hallelujah to the Lord. He couldn't go in to the place of the holy presence of the holy ark of the covenant except for once a month. Uh-huh, my God. And the only time that they could do that was a time of atonement. And he would have to go before God, and he would not wear that beautiful robe. So he had to ungarb himself and just put on a white robe. And I was sharing with you on Monday that we're going through a test. And this test that we go through is a test of faith. It's a test of believing in the power and the might and the glory of God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or even think. But you have to go before the Lord in the presence of God, in the purity of God, in the holiness of God, and you have to do that with the cleanness of a heart and a mind and your soul, and God will reveal and unveil you. And so I shared with people the other day on Tuesday that out of the book I've been reading, glory to God, The Sparkling Gem, and it was sharing, and I just want to, that's, you can pick it up on Amazon.com, but it's The Sparkling Gem. It's a beautiful book that I've been reading and studying through and reading, and out of the August 31st, I don't know how I wound up on August 31st, when I thought I was reading from July 31st, and the title was, Are You Going From Glory to Glory or From Mess to Mess? And I titled mine, Are You Going From Glory to Glory? Are you stuck in your test? Are you stuck in a place and stagnated? And I was sharing with you the scripture text, but we are called with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and the change and our change into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. And that was in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I want to go back to that this morning, and I want to also reference some scripture text with you that takes upon us, that says, take upon me my yoke, uh-huh. Take upon my yoke upon you. Matthew 11:28, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I wanted to share with the audience this morning, it says, come unto me, all that are heavy, that are labors and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. And so when we're talking about the presence of God and coming into God and being, we all with an open face, meaning that we come to God opening up our hearts. We come to God with a repenting spirit. We must come with sincerity of our hearts. And one of the things I want to encourage you as a witness to you, to share with you, there are times where you can pray and there are times where you don't feel like praying. And then there are times when you have to understand the reality of prayer is man knows not what he ought to pray for anyway, except by the presence and the move and the ushering in of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for we are a spirit, the same spirit that ripped the veil from Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary, my Lord, today. He died on Calvary. He took all of our sin, the iniquity of man. He took our sin and he died. But he allowed himself to leave this place and carry all of our burdens. And he rent the veil. There was an earthquake and the world shook. and the tomb could not hold his body, my God, today. And he put his spirit, which was already down in you because you were already created in his image and in his likeness, according to Genesis 1 and 28. You were created in his image, and he also tells us that he's given us dunamis power. I'll get to that in a minute. But faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And so when we look at this scripture text out of 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, I looked up and found that opening and beholding of the glass represented that there had to take a change. There's so much stuff that's going on. One day, by pondering, and I'm reading from Sparkling Gem, I was pondering this verse and thinking deeply about what it meant to go from glory to glory. And suddenly, it became a reality to me that we are going from our human situation, our lack of faith, our lack of our confusion, the struggles of the mind, the pressures and the depressions and the oppressions, the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness, the self-righteousness, the lust of the eye and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, the same things that caused Adam and Eve to be put out of the Garden of Eden because they were following their will and not the will of God. And so in this word, we have an understanding that the glory place is a place beyond where we can enter because the enmity that God speaks of, he shares with us that he put enmity, he put a block, he put sin in man, that because of our sin nature that we had to come out of the holy place because we had eaten of the tree of knowledge. If you read the Bible and go to the second Genesis, it will share with you that man and woman went and ate from the tree of knowledge. All the beauty of the glory that God had given to and took Adam and put him to sleep and drew out from his side the woman and gave him a mate. God gave mankind a mind that was able to be able to create and to form and to follow instructions and have a particular purpose and a plan for your life. And he is the author and the finisher of all that we go through. And so as I teach and share and preach this morning and pray and giving God all the praise and honor and glory, that we were put out of the Garden of Eden because of the sin of Adam and Eve, because they ate from the tree of knowledge. But I want to share with you something that I discovered in reading the Word of God. There's power in this Bible. There's power in the Word of God. And when you get in this scripture text, I want to take you this morning and tell you that God, he put them out of the garden because they ate from the tree of knowledge. It wasn't the tree of life that they ate from. They ate from the tree of knowledge, which was forbidden. And the reason why God did not want man to eat of the tree of knowledge, number one, it was his commandment. Ah, glory to God. It was a direction. And so when God created us in his image and his likeness, he gave us rules. He gave us covenants. He gave us a foundation, if you will, a solid rock to stand on, which is the word of God. He gave us a moral compass. He gave us statutes of meaning, guidelines, and he gave us direction. That the world's greatest GPS system is God's positioning system because he knew exactly where we were going, what we were going to do, where we were going to fail him at. And yet, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we are still wandering around trying to figure this thing out called the world. But I want to share with you the reason it was wrong to disobey God. That was the first problem. But the other reason was he did not want man to have the knowledge that he had given into the tree of knowledge because God has order in everything that he does. And he was waiting, knowing that the sin of man was going to come because he had put Lucifer, who is and who was the choir director. If you read the book of Luke, you'll find out that Lucifer and his band of angels were kicked out of heaven and sent to a dark void place, which happens to be, I believe, the earth that God now comes to in Genesis and speaks to it and says, let there be light in the firmament of his hand. He holds the world in his hand, and the power of God, the creativity of God, the breath, the ruach of God that breathes life, the mind of God is so powerful that you cannot even fathom how he could take a rock and take dust and split light and darkness in two different dimensions in a dark place, because he is the light. And yet he put a sun and the moon up in the skies. And according to understanding the atmosphere and the direction of the astrology that he put in place, and the stars and the planets and all the things that God created for his glory, he did not want man to misunderstand that the tree of knowledge was a sacred place, because it had so much knowledge that he knew that the enemy, who was Lucifer, who was over the praise team — that's why you have to be careful who you have in charge and who's singing praises, and have we hold ourselves out. If you're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in the church, and it begins with praise and worship, then we have to ask ourselves, how are we coming to church? Are we coming with a spirit lifting up the name of Jesus, or are we coming with a heavy veil? Is our faith rooted to believe that no matter what's going on, I can trust in the word of God, because I know according to his word that his word shall not return unto him in void. And if you seek ye, Matthew 6:33, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things shall be added unto you. And so I'm encouraging us this morning to get in that place of the secret place of the Most High God and confess again in your prayer closet all the day long. Pray and talk and meditate to God, even when you're on the bus stops. And I don't want to go back to the things I've said so many times, but you have to have a discipline about prayer in your life. You have to have the relationship with God that allows you to come before the throne of grace and mercy and understand it does take a spirit of meekness and a spirit to be blessed of God and to understand that he has some things that he wants to give us. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm in Matthew 5 this morning, sharing from the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that are mourning, you shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do honor my God today, do honor and thirst after righteousness of God. I come to share with you this morning that when you come before the presence of the Lord, the logos of his word is the word of God, the saying of the God, the mandate, the order, the moral precepts that God has given to us, that if we come before him seeking his faith, searching for the more of truth, and everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord, and know that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And this place of grace and mercy, this place of the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory, is not mentioned in the Bible as Shekinah glory. It's just the glory of God. And I wanted to share with you that glory is the presence of the light of God that is imminent in you, because it is the Spirit of God. It is the love of God, the grace of God, the person of his Godhood is God Almighty and his grace. He is Jehovah God. He's Elohim. He's God of everything that you and I need. All that we need comes from God Almighty. And I want to encourage the listeners this morning, as you come to the place of praying before God and talking to God, is to get in that place with God where he tells you that I have given unto you wisdom and knowledge. Listen to this in Proverbs 24, Be not thou envious against the evil men, neither desire to be with them. He says, in other words, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Romans 12 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, when you read and study that Bible and read the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Old and the New Testament, the Bible that God has set before us with the ordinances of God that He gave to men, just like you and I who were called out, created in His image, and given a form and called you a human being, and He left heaven and stepped into His flesh and that He created to show you how to walk through Jesus Christ and gave us examples of how to follow the covenants of God so that we could be kingdom builders. Kingdom builders, as Pastor Singleton. I just give a shout out to Pastor Singleton this morning, my pastor over at Victory Apostolic Church, and during our revival every Wednesday night, every Tuesday night, 6 o'clock they start with prayer, and 7:30 the choirs are singing. At 7 o'clock, there's 6 o'clock to seven, they're praying and worshiping God in the temple. 7:30 the guest choirs and guests and the choirs come out. The vessels of praise at Victory Apostolic, giving God all the praise because we're shouting victory. For 19 years that Pastor Singleton has been the pastor there, and I thank God for a new member there. I've been accepted as an elder. I thank God for the men and women that are serving there, both the pastors, the volunteers, the servants, whoever you are, the ushers, the elders, the teachers, the engineers, the janitors, the assistant pastor, whoever you are, the members in the body of Christ. I thank God for the presence of the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God for what I've learned through Apostle R.D. Henson, 10 years sitting at Monumental Faith. I got to give credit where credit is due, but giving praise and honor and glory to God and acknowledgement. But let me get back to this text because there's some of my personal friends who have stuck by my side for all of these years, Pastor Chisholm, Pastor John Chisholm, St. John Chisholm, Pastor. I thank God for you and for Pastor Julius Walsh. But let me get back to the message here and understand that God, even though He put us out of the Garden of Eden because of Adam and Eve, and so the holiness, the sin nature, was converted from being holy to sin. You were put out, and seraphims were put in place, the fire of God, and even around the tabernacle, the holy ark of the covenant, in behind the veil in the holy court was a place that would not allow, you were not allowed to enter into except for Moses and Aaron was able to go into that sacred place because God had chosen him to be the high priest and he had to take off the robe. But when Moses was on the mountain with God, he had to put a veil over his face when he came down because the glory of God, it means the light of God, the presence and the Spirit of God enters into us and quickens us. And any time you've been transformed, the old man must die and the new man comes out. You cannot take the old wine skin and patch it up and think you can pour the new wine in it. It won't hold. You can't take silk and redo it. You have to take it all apart and sing it all over anew. Glory to God. God wants you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And by the knowledge shall the chambers. Let me back up a minute here. Don't get caught up in this world and be conformed by the world. Don't allow your natural mind to get so heavy with the burdens of this life that you forget that you are a child of God and He calls you His friend. He says that He calls you a peculiar people, that you are the stewards of the kingdom of the vineyard. You are of His husbandry. You have been given a yoke of fellowship. The yoke of fellowship means that I have put my word around you that keeps you from, once you've been delivered, the word of God serves as a yoke so you can't go back out into the things of the world. You're in the world, but you can't do the things of the world. My God, today, and the gates of hell, Peter, cannot prevail against, he called them the rock, Cephas, a rock. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, meaning that the devil can't come in to you once you've been saved by God. If you are a man, and now let me get some direction, clarity here, because we have this believer once saved, always saved, and the only one that knows that relationship of where you are in your diligency with prayer and a rewarder of God being blessing you, and if you're really saved or not, that's between you and God. But I can assure you that just because you confess his name and you go up and get in the water and get baptized in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you go to church every Sunday, but you're not living according to the word. You haven't kept the precept. You haven't gone before him. All you did is say, yes, Lord. But there is no operating faith in you. There is no real belief down on the inside of your heart, and the only one that can judge you is God. I can't judge you just because you're a pastor. I don't know if your heart is pure and clean. I don't know just because you're a bus driver and you say you love God. I don't know that, but there's one thing that's consistent about people that really love God, and we have people that can be dressed up in lamb's wool and still wearing a mask, and that's what I'm talking about, being able to serve God, and the word means to remove the mask off of your face, and so that you come before God with a clean heart, being sincere and bowing down so that you can get your daily bread. God, come and get your daily bread. That's why you're praying. That's why you're studying the word. It's not the manna of bread from heaven. It's not the showbread in the holy court that the priest had to put up for them to eat 12 loaves of bread every day was kept fresh. It's not the candlelight, the menorah that I'm talking about. It's not just the altar of prayer in a physical sense. I'm talking about a spiritual component, the spirituality of God who dwelleth down on the inside of you. For they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And I want you to hear the reading of the scripture, the meekness and the kindness and the gentleness that you are to have as children of God, as people of God. As I shared with you this morning, that the word of God is sharing with us that he has given us, he removed us. It's called the anacalupto, which means to unveil yourself and come before God with sincerity, that he can do a new work in you. And I went on reading and turning to the teaching of this word. My God, my 30 minutes are just about up. And I wanted to say to you, oh God, that the word change, the Greek word means to metamorpho, which means to change. The meta carries the idea of being exchanged, to be transformed, while the word morpho in Greek word for a person's outward form. So there's an inward and an outward transformation that's taking place. Ah, my God. The word of God is what's keeping you rooted in his word. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the word of God has transformed you. The word metamorpho never used in the Old Testament, but it appears only four times in the New Testament. And we can talk about it later, but it's really talking about being transformed, that the light of God, the presence of God, can change you and bring you to that place where you know by faith that God will speak to you and guide you and give you the keys to the kingdom. He's already given you power to step on the adder's head. That's why it's so important, as I close out on this broadcast, giving God all the praise, honor, and the glory, and exalting his name, and remembering that God is the God of my salvation. God of love. So we close on Blog Talk Radio, AJS Ministry. Write us at AJSMinistry310@gmail.com. We thank you. We'll be back on again on Friday, giving God all the praise, honor, and glory. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.